Today is Monday, June 1st, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the SpaceX IPO's forced passive rebalancing risk, Darius Dale's run-it-hot macro regime and what it means for Fed easing, and a fertilizer supply crisis that's quietly building into a 2027 agricultural credit problem. The largest forced passive rebalancing event in index history may be 6 weeks away. SpaceX is targeting a June 12th NASDAQ listing at an implied valuation of approximately $2 trillion, a figure derived from secondary market pricing that puts it at 2 to 3 times the scale of Saudi Aramco's 2019 IPO, at $1.7 trillion in market capitalization. The moment SpaceX clears its milestone-based lockup structure, S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 inclusion triggers automatically. And when that happens, passive index managers across a $15 to $20 trillion AUM universe will be forced to buy. Estimates on the scale of that forced purchase range from $60 billion to $150 billion. That's not a rounding error. That's a discrete liquidity event that custodians, prime brokers, and passive managers who haven't pre-positioned will absorb at market. Building on that, the broader IPO pipeline amplifies the pressure significantly. When you aggregate SpaceX at approximately $2 trillion, OpenAI at roughly $300 billion based on recent secondary transactions, Stripe at $65 to $95 billion, and Anthropic at $60 to $100 billion, you're looking at an estimated $2.5 to $3.2 trillion in new market capitalization supply, potentially hitting public markets within a 12-month window. Whether public market absorption capacity can accommodate that volume is the primary capital markets risk for institutional allocators in fintech and technology right now. The broader fintech pattern here is that this IPO cycle is arriving into a market that is technically stretched and structurally concentrated. Lance Roberts has documented that the S&P 500 has registered 9 consecutive weeks of advances, a sequence that has occurred only 4 times since 1965. The index is currently trading 83% above its long-term 36-month trend line. More importantly, market breadth has deteriorated to single-sector dependency. Technology stocks, carrying 30% of S&P 500 index weight, account for virtually all year-to-date gains. Communications, financials, industrials, consumer staples, and energy have delivered flat to negative performance since Q1 of 2025. The semiconductor subsector is showing parabolic price action on a 20-year monthly chart, with the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index at approximately $600 per share. Roberts places the first Fibonacci support level at $320 per share, implying a potential 47% correction to initial support, with the 50-month moving average sitting around $223. The mechanism driving this acceleration is partly gamma squeeze dynamics. Near-zero put-call ratios are forcing option dealers to continuously delta-hedge by purchasing underlying stock, amplifying price moves beyond what fundamental earnings growth justifies. The critical point for portfolio managers is that when that mechanical buying unwinds, it unwinds with equal velocity in the opposite direction. Looking at the regulatory landscape and macro regime, Darius Dale of 42 Macro is framing the current environment as what his framework calls Paradigm C, run it hot. The data supports the label. Q1 2026 nominal GDP ran at 6.5% quarter over quarter, annualized. Year over year nominal GDP sits at 4.5%, exceeding long-run trend in every quarter since Dale's framework was published in April 2024. Core PCE deflator stands at 3.7%, 170 basis points above the Federal Reserve's 2% target. Supercore PCE is at 3.0%. Both measures show momentum rolling into what Dale calls weak negative impulses, meaning the 3-month annualized rate has fallen below the 6-month rate. That's a softening signal, but neither measure is on a trajectory toward target in the near term. For fintech capital markets, this configuration matters in a direct and immediate way. The Fed cannot ease into 3.7% core inflation without credibility consequences. Dale's framework observes that the Federal Reserve functionally tracks the 2-year nominal Treasury yield with a 3 to 6 month lag, which gives institutional allocators a more actionable forward indicator than dot plot projections. Elevated borrowing costs sustained by this regime directly compress fintech valuations and tighten fundraising conditions. The personal savings rate has declined to 2.6%, the lowest since June 2022, And real disposable personal income growth has turned negative at negative 4.4% on a three-month annualized basis. Consumer stress is present, but credit spreads remain flat with zero indication of systemic financial stress. Historically, the single most reliable leading indicator of economic deterioration. There's a medium-term fiscal overlay worth flagging. Federal interest expense now exceeds $1 trillion annually on $36 trillion-plus in federal debt. The Social Security Trust Fund is modeled for depletion by 2033 to 2034, and VanEck's macro team estimates that Treasury market pricing will begin reflecting that actuarial pressure 3 to 5 years before the trigger, implying a structural upward bias on 10-year yields in the medium term, a tail risk scenario of a 200 basis point spike in the 10-year Treasury. Pushing yields to 6.5 to 7% remains outside the base case, but regional bank held to maturity bond portfolios need to be stress tested against it explicitly. Now to the risk that is most underpriced in agricultural credit portfolios. According to Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer at StoneX Financial, three independent supply shocks have converged simultaneously, and the farm level consequences are already visible. But the consumer price transmission hasn't happened yet, which is precisely what makes this dangerous for lenders. First, the Strait of Hormuz closure has removed 13.5 million metric tons per year of urea export capacity from global supply chains. Second, Chinese government-mandated phosphate and urea export restrictions are producing, in Linville's words, next to nothing in shipments through at least mid-2026. Third, and permanently, the Russia-Ukraine anhydrous ammonia pipeline, carrying 4.5 million metric tons per year, is gone. Not disrupted. Gone. The U.S. imports 5 million-plus metric tons of urea annually, with approximately 75% sourced from Middle East and Russian origins that are now disrupted. Domestic producers, CF Industries, and Nutrien are not expanding capacity. Linville projects this supply pressure persisting at least into spring 2027. Here's the analytical trap that Linville is explicit about. Corn, soybeans, and wheat are showing minimal price movement. That flat grain price signal is leading some analysts to conclude there's no shortage. Linville characterizes that extrapolation as misleading. Farm margins are being compressed by input cost increases now, before the signal appears in grain prices. For financial institutions carrying agricultural lending portfolios, the stress test that matters is a sustained 25 to 40% input cost increase against a flat grain price scenario, because that is the current equilibrium, not a hypothetical. On the regulatory side, FDIC enforcement against Blue Ridge Bank and Evolve Bank for BSA and AML compliance failures in fintech partnerships has increased partner bank compliance costs by 40 to 60% and forced program restructuring across the BAAS ecosystem. For mid-sized banks operating BAAS partnerships, compliance investment requirements run $500,000 to $2 million annually for enhanced monitoring at the lower bound, and $3 to $8 million annually when audit infrastructure and regulatory capital are fully incorporated. The Digital Assets Clarity Act probability has retreated from 75% to 50%, creating strategic uncertainty for institutions evaluating crypto custody and tokenized deposit offerings. Basel III Endgame implementation has been revised to a 2027 to 2028 timeline for Category 1 through 3 banks, extending the window to address unrealized losses in held-to-maturity portfolios under active regulatory scrutiny. FinTech thesis update for today: three structural forces have moved simultaneously in ways that compound each other. The SpaceX IPO creates a discrete capital absorption event, arriving into a technically extended, breadth-deteriorating equity market. The run-it-hot macro regime removes Fed optionality and sustains the elevated rate environment that has compressed fintech valuations for 18 months with no near-term exit. And the fertilizer supply crisis is building a 2027 agricultural credit quality problem that grain price signals are actively obscuring today. Institutions that are waiting for visible deterioration in any of these three dynamics before modeling exposure are already behind the decision curve. The rebalancing is scheduled. The inflation constraint is structural. The supply shocks are permanent. Thank you for listening. That's your FinTech Briefing for Macro Observer. We'll be back tomorrow with the next cycle of structural market developments. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow.